Well, now, welcome aboard. Nice to have you. Got another message I know you're going to enjoy. Because it's all about you and me and everything around us. Let's open with a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those who hear it, that they will be glad that they tuned in. Oh, Lord, I pray that their hearts would be open and receptive to what is said. And when all is said and done, Lord, that they'll recognize the blessing, Lord, that comes only from above, that you be glorified, and that Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, will be lifted up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, the message, or the title to this message I've given today, is quite simple. You've heard it before. It's a on-again, off-again phrase. What's done is done. What's done is done. And, you know, that applies with the Lord as well. You know, it applies to our salvation, in fact. The very essence of our being, in a spiritual sense. When we repent and believe, in other words, when we give ourselves over to Jesus Christ and recognize the fact that he went to that cross at Calvary, shed his blood for the remission of sins, not just ours, but the sin of the whole world. When we understand and recognize that and believe in it, then, well, it can't be undone. What's done is done. It's as simple as that. You know, there's a lot of trouble going on in the world. I guess you don't need to be told that with the enemy being virtually on our doorsteps, getting closer all the time. Well, we are almost at their mercy, it would seem, at times. I'm just glad that we have an advocate in heaven. One who knows the end from the beginning. One whom we can put our trust in. Oh, he doesn't promise that we won't be annihilated in this time. But the fact of the matter is, what follows? Our faith kicks in at that moment when we realize there's no other recourse. But don't wait until that time comes. Have a real good conversation with your Lord today. Talk to him frequently. Talk to him often, yes. Because he's there and he wants to hear from you. Sometimes we get so bottled up in the things of the world that we get a little slack in our prayer life. Yes, we do. No, but as I was saying, you know, the enemy's close at hand. And when we see these things begin to pass, well, look up and see the majesty of Almighty God. We are all just so in the end times. It's incredible. When the citizens of a country, they flee their land for fear of enemy intrusion from within. They're invited into our country. And then, oh, they do their dastardly deed. They flee in all directions. As many of the young there are cleave to skirts in fear. And the world reaches out to invite them in. I could never understand that. I can see inviting the women and children, giving them a place of safety. But these young men, so many of them, they have left their homeland. Okay, you might say, well, they've been driven out. But they are young and they are strong. Should they not stand, hold fast, and fight for their country? Or ask at least for assistance? Oh, it's a terrible situation. It's a terrible situation. The world reaches out and invites them in. Soon they will become what is known as the enemy within. Their flocks are overrun. This is the problem. Their flocks are overrun with ravening wolves. But they're dressed like sheep. We can't recognize them until the deeds are done. The saints of God have become their prey. Yes, unfortunately, we who believe in Christ, we are their prey. They hate, they loathe Christians. O Lord, they are not thine. Thou knowest this. They are enemies to the cross. And they are here to destroy your children. O God, have mercy, have mercy. God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Jacob, they seek to replace our Jesus with a strange God. If we look in Galatians, the book of Galatians, I'd like to read from Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. We read, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again." Here it comes. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Let him be accursed. That's quite simple, isn't it? It's easy to understand. There's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. Only one. Oh, stop their flow, O Lord, stop their flow. Stifle their throats and break their backs, for they have come to ravage our children and slaughter the parents. O Lord, have mercy. My friends, the curse of Almighty God reaches beyond eternity. Beyond eternity. The wife of Job, in the Old Testament, the wife of Job, after Satan had been allowed to smite Job time and time again, she was in great calamity when she could do no more, and she said to her husband, "Ooh, curse God and die. Curse God and die." That's what she said. But Job, oh, he held fast, and the scripture says he did not sin with his lips. He did not sin with his lips. Job was a man to be admired. So what will you say? What will you say when the enemy is at your door? Will you hold fast to the truth once given unto the saints? Or will your knees turn into jello? And will your heart, which you had only thought was given to God, only thought because you're not saved, will it turn to mush when your family is at their mercy? Will it? Will you then see the end times as they wax worse and worse according to the scriptures? Or will the God of salvation say unto you, who never knew him, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? Because you never really knew him at all. There's the key. A lot of people are walking around today. "Oh yes, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the God of the Bible." But yet they still live the way that the non-believers live. They're walking lies. That's what they are, walking lies. How many we walk amongst every day who know not the God of salvation. How many will believe a lie? How many will believe a lie and receive that strong delusion which is sent to them, which is sent upon them in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, I want to read it. And I'd like you to understand, to receive it with an open mind and fully understand what's being said here. Verses 9 through 12. Very important words. Please, bend your ear and hear it. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Such sad words. Do you understand that? Do you understand what God is saying here? Receives not the love of the truth that they might be saved? Kept putting it off, living their regular lifestyle, ignoring, even mocking God. When that day comes, when the rapture occurs, when the voice of the archangel calls from the clouds of glory and says, come up hither, only those who belong to him that are saved, that believed in the gospel, will hear that voice. And only those who believe and hear that voice will be taken up in the twinkling of an eye. But those who have professed that they know him and do not, who have lied, who have mocked God, will be left behind to go into the tribulation, which is not going to be an easy road to travel. I can tell you that. Tell me, how many sermons have you heard? How many sermons have you heard that pay no mind to what I just read here in 2 Thessalonians about the strong delusion? How many? Hardly none at all of any, right? Those who have already rejected the Christ, that the cross of Christ will be among them and will enter, as I said, into the tribulation. So now, right this moment, now is the time of your salvation. Don't wait another day. I urge you, don't wait another day. It could be too late. But it's not too late right now. Do it now. It's not too late. It's up to us who know the truth, that we should let you know the truth, that we should tell it to all the world, how Christ suffered and died for our sins. We must tell them. We owe it to God to tell them, warn them. We must tell them that all the world should know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, and he is. So that when they stand before him in judgment, it will be a matter of rewards, receiving rewards, and not to decide between heaven and hell. Tell me, will your mom and dad be taken up at the rapture? What about your children? Will they meet the Lord in the air? Will your friends who once told you to stop preaching to them about heavenly things, will they meet you at the river? And how about your co-workers? how you've tried that they should believe in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will they be ready to go when the trump sounds, when the archangel thunders out with his voice to come up hither from the clouds of glory? Oh, at many workplaces, even where I work, we are not allowed to talk about Jesus. But one day, those who run these companies will have to stand and answer to God. It used to be, no matter where you were, no matter what work you were doing, you could always talk about your God and talk about Jesus and his saving grace. Oh, will these companies answer to God? Or will we see them with unspeakable joy, for they too have reached out to the Lord? Wow. The heavenly host will open the book and tell you their names. I won't mention their names if they're not in the book, but they will read out. The names of the saved shall be read out. And oh, every knee will bow, tears will come to your eyes. But not to those who have not believed. Not to those, for they will not be there. Not in that number. But we who will be there will remember. We will weep for them, but it will be to no avail. We will weep tears, but God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will strengthen us new and afresh. It should not affect us throughout eternity. Yes. Yes, we shall weep until God wipes away every tear from our eyes. And all our grief is over, gone. And there is joy everlasting. Oh, my friends, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. No more ups and downs, no more fears and tears, no more heartache. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. No more sorrow, no more shame. My friends, right now is a time to weep for lost souls, that they may know your heart's desire for them. Don't be afraid. Tell them what Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I know people like that I've witnessed to, and I pray for them daily. And when I speak to them face to face, I remind them that I'm still praying for them. But you know, you can't pester them. You can't just keep on their back all the time, you know, and it becomes an annoyance to them. But you, once you give them the gospel, you walk for Christ, and they see Christ in you. And then You pray without ceasing for their soul. That's what we're supposed to do. Make no mistake about it, friends. We are in the end times right now. Right now. Our blessed Savior is at the door, waiting for his Father to give the word. And soon, very soon, the shout will be heard by every saint to come up hither, come up hither. People, the enemy are in our land, but we are in his hand. Did you get that? I'm pointing up. The enemy are in our land, but we are in his hand. Amen? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. In closing, let's turn to the book of John, John 11. Oh, I love the book of John. John has been so inspiring, so comforting. Book of John, chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 32 to 36, okay? Please listen carefully. John 11, beginning at verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She's talking about her brother Lazarus. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have ye laid him? Of course, he already knew. He knows everything. They say unto him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 really hits my heart hard. Jesus wept. God's pinnacle of love, Jesus Christ, wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved them, how he loved him. Speaking of Lazarus, of course, who was dead in the tomb. Oh, Mary was Lazarus' sister. And she was so troubled, but Jesus comforted her. Jesus had delayed his coming. See, he was not there when Lazarus died. He was quite a piece away, and he delayed his coming, knowing that Lazarus was in the tomb. That's why. He knew that the Jews, it was for their sake, he knew that the Jews must fully realize the power of love, the love of God, the Father. And that through the Son, they would be convicted of God's great love. Jesus wept. Mary wept. They all wept. The Jews even wept. But most of all, even Jesus wept. The Son of the living God. You know, look at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. How he loves you too. How he loves me. How he loves this world. If we'd only turn to him in faith, believe him. Pray for your enemies. Don't condemn them. That's God's job. We are to pray for them, that they would have a change of heart, a change of mind. You see, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he did not rush to him to rescue him from the grave. He waited 2 days. He waited to allow Lazarus to die so Jesus could come and lift him out of death, raise him up, all to the glory of God the Father. You see, everything Jesus did while he was on the earth was to glorify his Father in heaven. You know, I like this little song that we used to sing in Sunday school. Sometimes we still do. But I want you to bear with me as I just sing a couple of lines here, okay? It's called "What a Day That Will Be." What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. No more sorrow, no more shame. Oh, my friends, just hear his name. There's so much in his name. The name of Jesus. Won't you believe? Won't you believe? Because once you've committed yourself to Christ, as I've entitled my message, what's done is done. Oh, may God bless you richly.